I'm Brad Locke, and you are listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Is it Wednesday?
It is.
Oh, good, because we're doing a podcast. Because we've had all these football games getting moved, and it's just throwing my internal calendar off. A game I thought was on a Friday is on a Thursday, and vice versa, or something like that. So, a lot of Thursday games this week, though. Last week of the regular season for classes 1 through 4A. And we have finished up volleyball, did that last weekend in Oxford. We'll talk about that. Going to look at some of these football region races as we get down to the wire here. We'll have the Athlete of the Week nominees as well. So thanks for joining us, coming to you every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at djournalsports. And check out our sponsor, Pizza Doctor, at Midtown Point in Tupelo. Pizza is gone. It is long gone. I saw one tiny, poor little sliver sitting there by itself, and one of y'all hoovered it up, I guess.
Yeah, and I walked away for a bit and came back, and it was gone. So, you know, you came up with a good combination today.
Yeah. They got the chicken Alfredo and then a sausage. Two classics. That chicken Alfredo might be my favorite that they do.
Yeah, I'm starting to tell that you're pretty partial to that.
I am. And I'm not the only one. So.
Oh, it's good.
Oh, yeah.
Solid.
All right. Let's jump into it. Volleyball. The season is done. We had the state championships in Oxford last week, and we had four teams from our coverage area down there, over there, wherever, to the west of here. And three of them came away with titles, Lafayette in 5A, Ingomar in 2A, and Pine Grove in 1A. And tell you what, the Lafayette, Ingomar in particular, they have two just of the best players in the area. Just absolute standouts, outside hitters, both of them, that can just murder a volleyball. And you just don't really want to get in the way of it when they do. But Lafayette, led by Harmony Jackson, they won the 5A championship over over East Central, 3-0. Ingomar beat St. Andrews. It was a great match. Went all five sets. Ingomar pulled it out 3-2. Macy Pfeiffer had 28 kills, doing what she does and has done all season. And then Pine Grove, how about the Panthers winning their first volleyball title, beating Noxipater 3-0. Adam Mooney, the first-year coach, he won it at Hickory Flat a couple of years ago in 1A, and now he takes Pine Grove to a championship in his first year. So that's a young program. I mean, fourth, maybe fifth year, I think. I mean, which is about where Hickory Flat was when Adam led them to a title. And then we had Alcorn Central back in the 3A title game. Third straight year they faced off with Our Lady Academy, and OLA won 3-1 to claim their 16th state title, by far the most of any school in the state. They've been good since volleyball began here back in the 90s, I guess it was. Alcorn beat them 2 years ago, but Our Lady has won the last two. So there you go. We got volleyball in the bag. Just got to get the all-area team figured out, which is very – I'm having a hard time narrowing it down. We do three – first, second, third team, seven each. You know, you start six on the floor, but they usually, like, bring in the libero. So you kind of have seven starters. So that's kind of how I came up with that number. So anyway, I got to pick basically the top 21 players. And as always, it seems, Brendan, I don't know if you've had to pick these kind of teams yet in your young career. The first team usually just about picks itself. It's that second and especially the third team that gets tricky. Like, who am I going to leave off that's really good? But that's why it's selective. You know, I'm not going to do like 30 honorable mentions like some people. So, yeah, hopefully we'll have that in the paper in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
It's a really unenviable job, so.
Yeah, I don't get, I mean, every once in a while I get an angry parent. But I do my research, and
you know. And then I think with baseball, I think it was we had somebody get drafted this year that I don't think made your
all. Oh, that was
all region area.
Yeah, maybe so.
Or all area team.
I think that's 2 years in a row it's happened. You just never know, man.
Yeah. A lot of schools, a lot of players, and you know, sometimes things happen.
Yeah, it happens. So, anyway.
We'll try to help you.
Oh, well, thank you. football. Let's look back at week 9, a couple of games of note. Biggersville took on Baldwin in a 1-1A contest, and Biggersville, not surprisingly, got the win, 35-14. That game was at Baldwin. I mean, that's the game James was at, if I recall, last Thursday. And, you know, Biggersville, to me, the team to beat in the North in 1A, although Vardaman at some point might have something to say about that. But kind of just doing what they do, Drew Rousey, Jathan Hatch, Trey Gunn. I mean, that's quite the trio they have right there. And those three guys alone can do a lot of damage, but they've got some other nice pieces around them. And so they ended up kind of pulling away there for the 35-14 win. Rousey threw for 141 yards and a touchdown, and he ran for 81 yards as well. And as I've mentioned on here before, that kid can legit sling the ball. And he's a good – they don't throw it a ton, but when they do, he is very sharp. Now, the game you were at, Brendan, last week, Ripley and Amory played at Tupelo. It was Amory's final home game of the season. And went about as all of us expected, low scoring, close. And once again, I picked against Ripley and should not have done so. They proved me wrong for the second time this year, beating Amory 14-10.
They might want you to just never pick them ever again.
Yeah, but now it's too late. I'm all on the Ripley bandwagon. I'm not going to pick against them until they lose or win it all through the playoffs. I'm all Ripley all the way. That's lesson learned.
I guess on the other hand, though, they haven't lost when you've picked them.
They're the 2-0, so maybe they want me to pick against them.
So that's the fun part when you're undefeated. So, you know, either way, it doesn't matter.
I'm just saying, though, if you got to use me for your motivation, maybe you shouldn't be out there.
I thought you were going to say you're an elite bulletin board material supplier.
Yeah, I'm sure they value my opinion that much that it gets them pumped before games. Paste that article up there on the play board and be like, okay, guys, Brad Locke doesn't believe in you. We're going to make him believe. We're doing it because of him, not because we want to win the game and win a championship eventually. This is personal.
Yeah, no, it's like when Georgia or whoever comes out and says, oh, nobody ever believed in us. It's like, okay.
Not entirely accurate, but no, I do. I've always believed that Ripley, I mean, just because I picked them to lose doesn't mean I think they can't win. That's two different things. I knew they're very capable of winning that game against Amory, and because of that defense and that running game, Brendan, which is pretty much what carried them that night, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a lot of kind of 3-4 yards in a cloud of dust kind of game.
Cloud of rubber pellets on the
Tupelo
turf.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Sorry about that.
But no, that's fine.
But yeah, it was just a lot of we're going to, you know, fall forward for 5 yards, 6 yards, four yards. You know, just keeping things moving, never too far, but never backward.
Right, exactly. Positive yardage, no negative plays.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, really, like, no negative plays.
Right. And Amory, I mean, to me, they've got one of the best running backs in the area, too, and Emmanuel Randall, and one of the best defenses. And you know, that kept them in it because they shut them out, shut Ripley out second half, didn't they?
Well, they shut them out in the first half.
Oh, first half.
But Amory only scored their only touchdown on a short field after Ripley went for it on, like, 4th and inches from, like, their own 30, or, like, it was, like, inside their own 35. Mm-hmm. And they turned the ball over, and Amory scored, like, 2-3 plays later.
Okay. But I'm saying Amory shut Ripley out in the second half.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah. My bad. Yes.
But, yeah. But, so, I mean, that I've seen a little bit of Amory this year. I haven't seen Ripley in person yet. But just, you know, I figured going in, they're, like, mirror images of each other, which they kind of are. Aren't they?
Kind of, yeah, but Ripley's kind of more like option based in the way they run the ball.
But they do both run it a ton. Very, very physical. I had someone mention that it was one of the more physical games they've seen this season.
Yeah, I would say that. Yeah, granted, a lot of the games I've seen this year have been like blowouts, so maybe I'm not somebody with a ton of authority on that.
Yeah, the first game you covered was, wasn't it that Bearsville Hamilton or something?
Yeah, where it ended like 55-35 or whatever. I was trying to do my box score and just couldn't keep up the whole time. Yeah.
I know the feeling. Oh, man. So that's a huge win for Ripley. Keeps them undefeated. Pretty much wraps up the division, the region title for them. Looking ahead, Thursday, got a lot of Thursday games, as I mentioned, because most of the games Thursday are for teams 1 through 4A because they start playoffs next week. Everybody else pretty much plays Friday. So Thursday, got East Webster at Nettleton. That's a region 4 3A game. And we had good old Brandon Shields. He's really good with this kind of stuff, and I'm not. So he wrote a breakdown of some of these region races in our area and what it'll take for certain teams to get certain seedings and all that fun stuff. So if you haven't seen it, it's on djournal.com. It should be in Thursday's paper. But anyway, getting back to this Nettleton-East Webster game, fascinating matchup, in my opinion. I mean, you got two mobile quarterbacks, Caleb Warnock at East Webster and Braylon Williams at Nettleton. Braylon can also throw it around really well. I would say he's the better passer of the two. East Webster has a really stout defense, a really physical style of play. And, you know, I think it's could be something that Nettleton's going to have to go out and prove they can play that style, because they, you know, they played a similar team in Calhoun City a few weeks ago and got a skull drug, as I like to say. And so, to me, this is kind of a gut check game for Nettleton. It's an East Webster team that's just probably not very fun to play against, just having seen them. But they're both 2-1 in region play, so the winner gets the number 2 seed behind Choctaw County. So that should be a fun one. That's the game I'm going to be at on Thursday. Also Thursday, Baldwin and Tupelo Christian. You'll be at this one, Brendan, will you not?
I will.
It's right by your house.
Thanks for doxing me. That's really great.
I'm sure people are out there looking for you right now.
Yeah, I know. Somebody's going to show up to my place and just start pelting it with eggs or something.
No, so. But these teams are both 1-1 in a region 1A, so they're playing for second place behind Bickersville there. Baldwin, I saw them in that season opener against Kossuth. Didn't look great that game, but looking at their results and their stats and, you know, over the course of the season, it looks like they've gotten a lot better. It looks like DeLon Johnson, the first-year quarterback, has gotten more comfortable in his role. They do like to throw it with him. He's also athletic and stretch the pocket and get out on the edge if he needs to. Tupelo Christian, we know they have Brewer Bailey, Mr. Everything, quarterback, can run it, play safety on defense. And they got some other guys like John Scott and Wyatt Wheeler that can get yards for you. I'd say Baldwin's probably the more athletic team based on what I've seen. I've seen both teams. But Brewer Bailey to me is just, if they can get him going, which they could not against Bickersville when I covered that game a couple weeks back, you know, I think we could have a close game. Baldwin, pretty good defensively. My big matchup to watch would be the TCPS defensive backs against Baldwin's receivers, because they got some good one, not least of which is Haston Nelson.
That was the name I was going to bring up.
Yeah, he's got like 40-plus catches this year. He's been doing this a long time. He's like a third-year starter. And so TCPS is going to have its hands full when Baldwin decides to throw the ball. Didn't know if you have anything to add to that, but that's my analysis.
No, I was going to say that was going to be pretty much the exact thing I was going to say was Haston Nelson. But, I mean, they've also got, you know, Marquez Davenport is right behind him in receiving yards.
Yeah, he's having a good year too.
So, good luck with that. So,
Brewer Bailey at his safety position is going to have to help out a lot in coverage.
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, he's going to be busy, man.
Yeah, and he usually is. He's used to it. So, that'll be a good game Thursday night. Stop by at Brendan's place on the way over and say hi if you want. Okay, what was I doing? Oh, region races. Let's go back to some of these region races. Again, it's the last week of the regular season for classes 1 through 4A, then 5 through 7. They'll finish up next week. Let's see. 1-3A. Kossuth is that sewn up. Boonville's the number two. So Belmont Mentachie is for the 3-4 seeds. And I mentioned the 4-3A. East Webster and Nettleton, winner gets the 2 seed. Loser gets 3. Morville and Aberdeen playing for that 4 seed. So they're both 0-3 in region. So, yeah, there's more. You can find it, again, at djournal.com. A lot of crazy scenarios out there. So, okay. I guess that's it, man. Let's do the Athlete of the Week nominees. Go to our Twitter page at djournalsports to vote for female and male athletes of the week. Will be posted by the time you hear this, likely. Female nominees, Adeline Bailey of New Albany Golf, Macy Pfeiffer of Ingomar Volleyball, and Sophie Santucci of Tupelo Cross Country. Male Athlete of the Week nominees, Degarius Clifton of Shannon Football, Jalen Washington of Houston Football. I'm not like I'm not trying to say you need to vote for Jalen, but he did run for 388 yards, just saying. And then Kaysen Williams of Hatley Football. So there you go. Those are your Athlete of the Week nominees. Again, go vote on our Twitter poll at DJournalSports. That's it. We're done. Thank you for joining us. Coming to you every Wednesday. We're in iTunes, Spotify, online at preprally.djournal.com. And I've already mentioned the Twitter handle. I'm on there at Bradlock. Brendan is on there at...
You'll get it one of these times.
One of these days.
You can find me at bferrell727 or apparently at my house.
Yes. For don't even have to DM Brendan. Just go to his front door. Okay. Pizza Doctor. Yeah, almost forgot. Got to mention them again. Check them out at Midtown Point in Tupelo. We'll see y'all next week when we broadcast from Brendan's living room.